This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mind Your Loaf, a podcast about taking action on our mental health. I am here with my co-host, Mar.
Hi.
I'm Jason Byrne, and the team at Irish Mental Health Charity TurnToMe.ie, who besides helping us with this podcast, provide professional mental health support online free to everyone in Ireland. So we have another episode, Mar.
Yes, we do.
This is number, we don't know, because they're not going to be going out in order, you know what I mean, which is fantastic. So with us here on my right, we have Anita Conlon. Hello, Anita.
Hello, hi, how
are you? Conlon.
Yes.
Anita Conlon. Yeah. And then over here, we have Orna Heine. Isn't that how you say it?
Yeah, Heine.
So Orna Heine, how old are you?
16.
So Orna Heine is a professional teenager. Anita is the author of Talk to Me, and it's the RSE, which is Relationship Sexuality Education.
Yeah.
And what I mean, that's a format that you came up with, or is that something that you work along?
No. It's a part of the SPHE in schools, but I worked in that area for the past 24 years. So I didn't come up with RSE, that was the Department of Education. But in England, interestingly, it's called SRE, Sexuality and Relationship Education. Oh. It's interesting we put the relationship first.
Why?
Don't know why they do. I absolutely agree with it, though. I mean, I think it's in the right order. I think it should be RSE, you know. But they call it SRE, interestingly.
But you basically work with teenagers, yeah?
And kids as well, from kids? Fifth class, yeah, 10-year-old up to Leaving Cert.
And what are you talking to them about? Like, I mean, what is the thing that you do?
Okay, well, obviously you're going to talk to children in primary school about different things than you would with teenagers.
Yeah.
So, you know, say fifth class girls, it's all about periods. They would talk about periods.
God.
They don't want you to stop talking about them. You've opened the floodgates when you start talking
to them. But would they talk to their parents about that?
No.
So that's the thing. You're kind of like, you're like an outlet.
Yeah. You know, some of them have never said the word.
Oh,
period.
God.
You know, I mean, they haven't. And you would imagine people think we're so progressive in 2020. Not on your life. You know, kids will say, yeah, but what would you say? You know, and I'd often say to them, well, you know what? When you go home today, tell them this woman was in.
Yeah.
And you were talking about periods because now you've said the word.
So is it just girls you're dealing with?
No. Fifth class boys would really, then they're not going to want to talk about the bodies too much, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they want to talk about pressure, maybe doing well at sports, maybe looking cool, that kind of thing. Just getting on with the lives. Mm. Girls, fifth class girls, a lot of it is about body developments, how the bodies are going to develop. Sixth class then, it's relationships start to creep in, you know.
Yeah.
So not with
like
all of them.
12, 13,
you know. And some of them are a million miles away from wanting to talk about relationships at all. Some of them, however, are really big into the whole romance in sixth class, you know, and I've had...
Like having a proper girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, I've had kids in sixth class saying, well, I've been in a relationship for a year now,
what?
You know, and you're going, you're 12.
But, now, you see that noise I made, because I'm a parent.
Yeah.
I have a 13-year-old and a 19-year-old. I literally, my 13-year-old would never say that stuff to me.
Of course they wouldn't.
So that's why we need people like you.
Would you have said it to your mum?
No, I wouldn't.
Neither would I. I would have rather stuck hot needles in my eyes.
Yeah. Sure, my sex education in the kitchen was, And I went, Dad!
Yeah.
And I meant, Mom! He went, Ma! And then that was it.
I got handed a packet of pads when I got my periods.
Oh,
and the only thing she said was, don't let your dad see them. I think she thought he was going to rob them or something. I don't know what she thought he was going to do with them. Don't let your dad see them. And that was the end of that then. That was my sex education.
Because it's very different now as parents. Like, we feel like we really need to help them along by talking to them, making sure they have the right information.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you don't listen to your mom and dad as much.
No, you don't. And you know, I really do. I think parents do need help. Oh, no, some parents need help. Some parents want help. Some parents don't. And that's okay if you don't want it. But I do think that sometimes kids would still just rather talk to somebody else. And I hate to see parents getting shuddered all over. You should be able to do it. You should have the first word. You should have the last word. Great if you can.
Yeah.
If you can't, that's also okay. And I hate to see parents under pressure. Oh, geez, you know, what am I going to say to them? You know, some poor woman said to me, she came to a parent talk and she said, I was talking about the way you talk to kids. And she said, you'll never guess where I did. She said, my young one says to me last week, Ma, what's periods? And she said, so I says, it's a game.
But it's like, because she just couldn't do it.
She couldn't do it. She couldn't
and
do it.
And that's not even, that woman wouldn't even be that old
she
now.
She was only young. Her child was in fifth class. She was a young woman.
So is it an Irish cultural thing not to be taught?
It's not an Irish thing.
Is it everywhere?
I think it's just...
The embarrassment?
Absolutely. You know, I wasn't brought up. I was brought up in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And it was the very same there. I had my sisters who are my age group, you know, her son came down with a tampon and asked her what it was. The box of them in the bathroom, and she said, "That's their stoppers for when you open the wine. You put them in the wine bottle so it doesn't go off." Because she couldn't tell him where a tampon was, and she phoned me up to say what she did. I said, "You're mad. You are round the bend, you know."
So when you're approaching these children in the room, do you kick it off? Like, do you know what I mean? As in, like, do you say to them, okay, who wants to talk about this or that? Or do you choose the subject?
You see, the thing about it is...
Because what I'm actually basically asking you, flat, is how the hell do you talk to teenagers?
With kids, we will always... You see, everyone's going to develop intellectually, emotionally, physically and spiritually. And so, first of all, I would take them through all the intellectual developments. You know, what can you do now that you couldn't do when you were 8? Mm. What do you think? Well, you think about things differently when you're 12 than when you're 8 or 9. You talk differently. You've got different expectations. So you start that way, you know. And I would always say to parents, talk about you, not them. You know, it's much better. You know, you talk about what it was like for you growing up, about the things, stupid things that happened to you, about the things you were afraid to ask, rather than put a spotlight on them, because they hate that spotlight.
So it drags down the barriers.
Of course it does.
So you're just,
you know, yeah.
They go, oh my God, my dad was a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the things that you were worried about. And for boys, one of the things they worry about a lot are wet dreams. What's going to happen? You know, I mean,
God, even when you say that, I jump. I'm like mortified. I like literally want to go over
You're
here and
right,
draw a
Jason.
Picture.
It's all right, Jason.
God, what are you talking about, Anita?
I'm not going to ask you, did you have fun?
Jesus. Mother of God.
Jason, did anybody come to your school and talk to you about wet dreams and periods when you were... No.
We had a nun.
Oh, God.
Sister Teresa,
yes,
who was a lovely woman. And we loved her because she wasn't a proper nun. She was a real nun, but she wasn't a pain in the arse nun. You know what I mean? And she came out and she went, right, sex education. And we were all like, whoa!
That poor woman.
Right?
Yeah.
And she went along, drew it on the board, didn't care. And she had no idea how much she was helping us all.
Right. Yeah.
No matter how much, we were still going, whoa! Yeah. And she'd go, so here's the penis, yeah, and all this. Right. Because it was very different
she
in the
80s. She demystified it. She took all of that.
Yeah.
You can't
helped
say
us.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all, when I was a kid, and all the way up even in the secondary school, we pretended we knew it all.
Mm.
We pretended we knew what everything was, like sex and which ways and all the bits and the pieces and the oral
and
sex and everything. We didn't know anything.
You know the words. You know the words.
We didn't actually know.
The kid in the class who's shouting out all of this stuff, and you know, what about 69ers and what about orgies and things like that?
Yeah.
They're generally the ones who really, they've got all of these words, but they don't know where it really fits into life, really, you know. And it's that talking about it sensibly, not being shocked, keeping your poker face and remembering that, you know, they are just being curious. And people get so frightened, you know, oh yeah, and they're going online and they're doing this. Going online to access pornography, which is something you couldn't have done when I was a child because there was no online.
No.
But I would have looked up things like penis and semen in a dictionary when I was 12 or 13 because I was curious.
Yeah.
They're curious. They've just got more access now. You know, they can take that curiosity. The curiosity is normal. Don't get panicked about the curiosity.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's, you know? It's just what they're seeing.
Yeah. And
when they put in penis into an internet.
Yeah, absolutely. They
it's
will see
madness.
All manner of things, whereas I would have got the
biological
kind of, fact behind what it is.
I think what you're saying there is really important, that, you know, for parents as well, that we don't really change. Teenagers are always going to be teenagers. They're always going to be, they're, no matter what time period we're in, they're always going to be going through the same changes and the same curiosities and the same drives, aren't they? Mm. So what we experience as teenagers, our children will be experiencing
absolutely.
As teenagers. Yeah.
Just under different circumstances, but the same thing.
So the main fear for as a parent as well is that it's like, oh my God, they can't see that on the internet. They can't be looking at that. They can't be doing this. They can't be. Mm. But no matter what happens, they will.
Mm.
On their phones
will,
or with their mates or whatever.
I know.
Because we were like, look, give you a really simple example. When I was a kid, one of the lads found a porn mag in the bush. Because like, we don't know why, but we think Owlfellas used to put them in the bush to hide them on their wives.
Probably watching you take it out of the bush.
Yeah. Oh, so we'd open it and we'd all gather around. And it was literally an encyclopedia to like a lady's body.
Yeah.
Because you're going, oh my God, look at that. Look at this. But they must be doing the same thing.
Yeah, of course.
But in a much more graphic.
And they have, as you say, Jason, you know, you put certain words into a search engine. Mm. You can get all manner of things. Things that would shock you or me as an adult. Mm. And I have met parents who've said, my poor child was told to put this in. And he is crying day and night because of what he's seen, you know. So there is that. And a parent's, I believe, primary role is to protect. Then happy. Protect your kids, then make them happy, you know. And I think that's why, as parents, we do feel that I've got to stop them doing this. What if they do that? It's natural. Nature does that to us. We want to protect them.
And I think as well is that if, so I'll give you a good example, like my 19-year-old and my 13-year-old, they're actually not too bad at saying stuff, asking us stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because we kind of started out like that. Because I'm quite open as well, anything. And then my 19-year-old, his mother, which was hilarious, was, I don't know, he's about 15 or 16. And she was going, stop doing it all over the sheets. I'm telling you,
stop
doing it all over the sheets. Like, do it into a tissue. And he's like, what am I not doing anything?
Geez.
She's going, masturbating in your bed. So because she does that, he now has kind of grown up to just saying anything about sex, normally to us.
Yeah.
And I think if you can unlock that key, because then they don't feel so bad. Because I think, I remember watching you saying that as kids, the kids are trying to protect their parents.
They do. They try to protect their parents. Mm. Absolutely. You know, they know a lot more. 96% of kids know a lot more than their parents will ever think they know. Did you know more than your parents think you knew?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And what age did you start learning stuff like that? Or like, I mean, how were you accessing that?
Well, I didn't really like know much about it till about fifth or sixth class, but they didn't really teach us much. We just got shown a video and didn't really say anything.
They didn't say anything about the video, the teacher.
They just let you watch it.
She just left us in the room in her own part of the video.
Oh my God.
Well, that's already wrong. I'll be back in a minute. I mean, legged it.
Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, that's bad. No, that shouldn't happen.
So you learnt nothing, really?
Not really, no.
No. You never got a chance to talk. Did you talk when you went home about it?
No.
No.
Well, like, I kind of just figured out stuff for myself, like, now. But at that age, it didn't really help.
And did your friends, like, would you and your friends be sitting around asking, like, I wonder what this is and I wonder what a period, you know, what actually happens? Would you have had those conversations or was it all kind of internal? Just wondering yourself.
No, we talk a bit about it, but it wasn't like the main topic of conversation. Yeah. But we would like talk about like when we got our periods and how it affected us and all that.
Because you're like 16 now.
Yeah.
So that was happening when you were about 12, 13?
Yeah.
So like... So now that you're older, so you're obviously in a much different world now, and you see our kid, this is mad. Like, it's amazing. I never get to actually talk to a teenager that'll talk back to me. But like, what kind of experiences are going on now in that area in this age? Like, do you just talk openly and like with girls, or do you talk with boys and girls? Or,
well, it really depends on the person if they're open or not.
Yeah,
but there would be. like a bit of that going on, but not that much.
So would you reckon most people your age or even like 14, 15 know most stuff?
I'd say so, yeah, because we have better access to internet than like other previous generations would have.
Mm-hmm. And would you agree, Ona, that, yeah, you've got access to information on the internet, because this is one of my main bugbears. You can find information out about any physical aspect at all. Yeah. You can find it. It's there. There's help about unwanted pregnancy, about contraception, about STIs, about sexual acts, about gender issues. It's all there for you. What there isn't is any access to talking about things like relationships, broken hearts, abusive relationships, consent, being dumped. That was one of the things that was always coming up, you know, how do you deal with a broken heart? How do you deal with being dumped? How do you dump somebody nicely? You know, would you agree that there isn't access to that kind of stuff for you?
Yeah, I would agree to that, because like at our age, it's like the first time like all those situations are happening.
It is, yeah. You haven't got past experiences to draw on. And who do you ask? Your other friends who also haven't. You know, I mean, there's always somebody who's got a bit more experience or done a bit more, but I think that's what's sadly missing.
And do girls know more than boys, or boys know? Does it matter?
Do you know, the interesting thing is that I always do, if you have a mixed sex group, so you've got a co-ed school and they are 15, 16, 17-year-olds, if there's a really good exercise where you can break them into boys and girls and you get them to talk about their expectations of relationships. So you get the boys to say, what do boys of your age expect? And they make a big list.
Wow.
Ask the girls, what do girls of your age expect? And they make a big list. You then put them on the board. The girls are incredulous. They're saying, don't believe they wanted that. They're not looking for that. And the boys will say, yeah, yeah.
No way.
And what kind we were. Boys, you know, I mean, I'll give you an actual example. I went into a co-ed school, south inner city, and there was a boy sitting with a group of girls and all the other boys. It was like the ballroom of romance. So they were all on one side or the other, you know. So to do this exercise, I had to say to him, I said, when you come out of there, love, when you would go and sit over there with one of the groups of boys, he said, yeah, yeah, no problem. So I asked him to do this exercise, what boys are looking for and what the girls are looking for. So he was the spokesperson for his group, and he was reading out things like a laugh, feel comfortable.
Wow.
Right.
Intimacy.
Yeah.
He said, and I'm going, oh, this is great.
So he means like walking along, holding hands.
Intimacy. Being you know what intimacy is. Being comfortable that this person
is
can
that what
see
they,
you.
But
that's
do they know?
What he meant.
They know what that means.
He did. They don't normally.
It's like a closeness.
Hugs. Yeah. Hugs. He was looking for.
Wow.
He wanted somebody who he could trust, and all of this. And the girls whose group he was in, one of them, it got too much for her, and she went, "Bet you didn't write any of that."
Whoa.
She said to him, and he went, "No, I did, honest." And the group he was with said, "No, he did. He wrote most of it." And she said, "No, that's stupid. You can edit this out if you have to." She said, "No, because I know all you're looking for is your hole."
No, we're definitely leaving that in. that's how they speak.
And he went, "Well, you would think that, wouldn't you?" And she said, "Yeah, because I know you." He said, "No, it's just the way I talk."
Wow.
Wow.
It's just the way I talk. And the girls were all going, and that's why if you can, things like expectations of relationships, mm-hmm. we've all got them. You haven't got a chance to explore them. I know what to expect from them because I'm old. I've had relationships and I'm in a relationship. When you're a teenager, how, you know, you've got
no
these
idea.
Expectations and you don't know how to, an expectation that's not discussed just remains an expectation. Boys know far more about girls' expectations than girls know about boys. Why is that?
Well, are they talking to somebody? Is it their mother?
No. Girls talk about what they want more than boys. Girls will talk about relationships, sometimes ad nauseum. They will talk and talk and talk about what they want, what makes them happy. And where are we now? And, you know, what do I mean to you? And this is what you mean to me. So boys know what girls want. a lot more than girls. So the girls, that right. was the second part of the exercise. I would say to the boys, tell me what you think girls want. And they'd give me a big list. Girls, tell me what you think boys want. And again, it would be the whole. Would be often on the list. Not with all of them, but that would be on the list with a lot of
them.
So
the girls just didn't know what the fellas wanted?
No, because boys aren't talking as readily as girls. They want it. And you, we were talking outside. You give them the opportunity to drop the facade, to forget the stereotype. And they will then say, this is who I am. I'm scared. I'm scared about having sex. Mm. I haven't had sex. And yeah, I do want it, but I'm scared.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I'm scared. So all the way up, so I didn't have sex till I was 18. I know, and I was really shocked by that. But I was in Spain, in Salou, right?
Well done.
With me dad and all my ma. I was out dancing, right? And I was with these girls and all, and nothing happened. So then I had my first proper girlfriend, not till I was about 18 or so, right? And she was going like, so if you had sex? And I was going, yeah, I had it in Spain.
Yeah.
So I said, on the continent.
I said, in Spain.
Continental.
And I pretend to order it. And she went, oh, brilliant. Well, then let's go upstairs. And I was shitting.
She was a hussy, wasn't she?
No, she was older than me. She was only 2 years. So I was shitting myself, right? And it was a bungalow, so it wasn't a big walk. So I went up. And I'll never forget it. I'm not going to get too graphic, Gretchen, but I was terrified. Because I had no idea what was going to happen.
No.
I didn't really know exactly
what
happened.
It must be awful to be a boy for the first time.
Yeah.
Because girls generally can get away with being more passive. So, okay. You know, an awful lot isn't expected. Well, things are expected of them in various other sexual encounters. But I think they can get away with being less knowledgeable than boys. It is expected that boys know what to
do. It is, isn't it? Yeah.
And boys are terrifying.
But should we tell our children, like what age? I mean, we never know. When do you start telling them? I'd love to tell my son what just happened to me. I've never told him. Because I'd be like, they'd be going, shoot up that.
I don't want to know. You haven't said it's gross.
But when is a safe time for a child's brain to kind of head there?
Do you know what? I'd be led by them. I would be led by them.
Because they're all different maturities.
Yeah, you know, and you've just said you're open. You have this open way of talking. You could be having a conversation with your wife or partner about something, you know, while they're around and they're picking up bits of it. You know, you can introduce it that way. They don't want that we're going to have a sit down and we're going to have a talk about this, you know, because that's, it's awful. It's awful for them.
Well, my therapist, I know I do go to therapy. I wonder why, I don't know, she said the best way to talk to.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
My children, and this is where I mainly talk to them, is in the car.
Yeah.
So they're here.
They're not looking at you.
They're not looking at me. Looking at the window.
Yeah, and you're moving. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they can't get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that has...
They're trapped.
That, I've had some cracking conversations with them in there.
Absolutely. You know, if you're cooking and they're behind you.
Yeah.
It's just not don't making that eye contact. Because they feel mouthy then when you do, you know. They don't want you to do it.
They're like, oh my God. Yeah. They want to know the noises coming from somewhere over there.
Yeah.
I mean, is that how you are, Orna, with your parents or... Which way? Do they ever talk to you about stuff like that?
They would be open to having a conversation if I asked them any questions about it.
Like, would you? And is the car a good way?
Well,
would you be like?
Do you feel comfortable
in the car? Like, if you're
would
in the
you
front?
Pick a time where it wasn't just going to be the two of you sitting face to face, or would you do it another way?
Yeah, it's probably easier to talk in the car, but it is. Like topics you don't really want to discuss with your parents.
Oh my God,
it's never easy, is it?
Isn't it brilliant?
Yeah.
Isn't it mad? Because everybody in the car knows the one, we're all talking about the same, we all know in our heads.
Yeah.
But like the kids go, no, not me, man, that pew.
But everybody's feeling uncomfortable in the car. I think that's what the teenagers need to realise as well, that the parents.
Mm. And it's okay to say, do you know, I'm not entirely comfortable with this. If you get asked something, not entirely comfortable, but I'm going to do my best.
Yes.
And if you're not satisfied with my answer, that's okay. We'll find out together.
Yeah,
you know. So I think it's better to admit that you're feeling a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you're glad they asked you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you are absolutely glad, because as a parent, I just want them to know everything that I know. Mm. You want them to be safe.
Yeah, of
and,
course
and knowledge is safety.
Yeah, of course.
So if they know exactly what's going on, then they're just so much safer.
Yeah.
Pregnancy is another thing as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There must be, there's high pregnancy now, you know, around. I mean, you must,
strange,
you must
see that. People say, oh, do you know what that is? That's because we didn't get any kind of education in schools.
Okay.
That's a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
You show me the teenager who doesn't know that a penis in a vagina makes them pregnant.
Yeah,
they know that. Because they do. Of course they know that. The reason is, and it's never changed and it's never going to change, teenagers are risk takers. Mm-hmm. And they have to be, because if they didn't take risks,
how you live,
society would stagnate.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have new inventions. We wouldn't have boundaries pushed back. They take risks. And because this sex when you're young is so exciting, you know, I mean, this is something you haven't done and everything, all your sensations are heightened. It's very hard for them to pull back. Once they are in the throes of this passion with somebody that they really fancy, very hard for them to pull back. And sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes they feel, oh, well, I can't. You know, I mean, I've gone this far.
Yeah.
I've gone this far. So I can't really say now I want to stop, you know.
But apparently as well, less teenagers, I just read this somewhere, are using protection. Like, less teenagers are using condoms because AIDS is not as... what's the word, terrifying as it was when I was a teenager. Like, I remember my mother wouldn't let me go to Funderland because she said I might get AIDS off the toilet seat.
Brilliant. Was that not ads?
People get pregnant like that too.
Oh my God. But you know, it was terrifying.
I think in teenagers in schools are worried, not AIDS.
Right.
STIs in general.
STIs, okay.
But what they don't realise is, you know, we're talking about protection, is that oral STIs are huge amongst teenagers for the obvious reason, because instead of having full sexual intercourse, having oral sex.
Right.
So, which they wouldn't even think that they would
don't get even think about
disease
it.
Off that.
Don't even think about it, no. And I, you know, it's so that is why education is important. It's not going to stop unwanted pregnancies, because I believe if a teenager is in the throes of passion, no more than an adult, it's very difficult to pull back at that point. But I think if we can educate them to say, you are going to be sexually attracted to someone, you are going to have wonderful, hopefully wonderfully exciting sex that you're not going to want to stop. So if you think this is a possibility, before you actually get there, think about what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't communicate with this person about sex, if you can't say, what are we going to do? What will we use? You shouldn't be having
sex.
But is the pressure on the kids, like, I mean, I've always often wondered, is there pressure on girls to literally put out? Do you know what I mean? Or is it more on the boys?
But there's also pressure on boys as well from girls.
So let's say they do this Netflix and chill thing, right? Yeah. Which is where they go and they meet in the house.
Yeah.
Is that just, so let's say neither of them want to have sex, but are they both assuming they should be?
Sometimes they
because
are,
of their
mates
and all.
Yeah, yeah.
And their mates for a long time be lying.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going, oh, how you done sex with your woman there last week? Did you go in there and do Netflix and chill?
Yeah,
great crack. Love out your little number there.
So if they've kissed, they've had a feel. If they've had a feel, they've had full sex. So it's always the... You're a man. I mean, they're going to exaggerate.
So the consent thing is what is hard for them, because the girl mightn't want to have... So she is, you know, consenting to it, but she's probably but deep in her brain she probably doesn't want to, because they're not seeing the relationship. I feel like sometimes they don't see the romantic side of things, like a lot of things on telly they'll go, and I've seen you talk about this actually before, like in soaps they're talking and the next minute they're in bed. They're seeing that. They're not seeing the prolonged like. So for me, when I was a kid with my first partner Rachel, we didn't have sex straight away. It did actually, there was a lot of walking around for ages.
Yeah.
Right.
And even, that waiting for the first kiss, you know what I mean? Is he going to kiss me?
That was lovely as well.
Isn't it lovely?
And then there was a big gap again.
Yeah.
And that was that was just what happened to a lot of my mates.
I just feel so sorry for this generation. And not only this one, you know, my own kids' generation, an awful lot of that expectation, the romance, the wooing. seems to have gone.
Yeah.
And that is so important. You know, yeah. I mean, there should be a bit more of D.H. Lawrence and a bit less of out and out awful pornography.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, there really should. Nothing wrong with sex. It's wonderful and it should be enjoyed. And it can only be enjoyed, I really believe, when there is some kind of intimate connection.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the opportunity to explore this a lot of the time. And that means boys too. I've had so many boys who really are scared and whose girlfriends are the ones pushing them.
Oh.
You know, whose
because
girlfriends
it's like it's a rite
saying,
of passage, isn't it? We need to get this box
ticked.
Yeah,
we've got to do that. You know, it's time we did this.
Yeah.
But and if you don't want to do it with me, is it because you don't fancy me?
Yeah.
Is it because you're gay? Why don't you want to do it with me?
And the other thing is the sex thing.
Mm.
That's a big thing, isn't it? With
them? Yeah.
I mean, are they under pressure to do that as well? Because let's say like they're in a group and like, oh, he sent it, why don't you send it? And it's all that, is it?
Yeah, there is an awful lot of that. There's pressure because they have the stereotype and they are safe within the stereotype.
Mm.
So they may think, I really don't want that sent to me. I really don't want to send things. I really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But I can't be seen as the wimp who's going to say, that's not right. I don't want to do this, or I wouldn't do that, or I haven't seen this, or I've never done that. So, you know, boys are never going to say, I exaggerate. So what I would always say to them is, put your hand up if you know anybody who's ever exaggerated about their sexual activity. Everybody's hand goes up. Everybody's
but
hand goes up.
But how do you teach them to be like, I don't know, have better relationships with each other? Like, how can you do that?
Do you know, I think, as when you were growing up, you've talked about your mum and dad's relationship and other relationships, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I grew up observing my mum and dad. Parts of it were wonderful, parts of it were less wonderful, but it was still an education. I was the youngest of four girls, so I saw them.
Whoa.
I love soaps even to this day. So we are surrounded by relationship stuff, you know? And I think if we can just talk about life in general to them. We can't just say, okay, we're going to have a relationship chat now, because they'd be out that door before you could say chat.
What?
No Shut way, up, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not doing it.
But even the kind of relationship stuff in relation to friendships, do you know the kind of
it's
way that often gets neglected, and yet friendships really are the most important part of our lives, aren't they?
Of course they are.
They really are.
Yeah.
That's the basis. Yeah.
So, we talk about relationships, and it goes into, even here now, it goes very quickly into sex. But actually, when we are thinking about relationships
friends,
that are friendships.
Yes, rather than romantic ones. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Is there a space for, or is there any education given, or is there any kind of guidance
I don't think
given?
There's huge education given, but I tell you where I think all parents, and this is something I am so, so passionate about, all parents should have an actual conversation with their children about empathy.
About empathy.
Yeah. Right?
Because, you know, we were talking outside, Anna and I, you know, and she was asked a question, you know, why do you think people are okay to say really mean and nasty things online? And it is all to do with empathy. And, you know, if we can talk to our children as soon as they are old enough to understand, you know, that's not nice. You shouldn't say that to somebody. Mm-hmm. How would you have liked it if somebody did that to you? It's very simple.
Yeah.
You know, what can you do if you see somebody else hurt? How do you recognize hurt in somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And are you brave enough to do something about that hurt? So that's if children understand empathy, they're going to be much nicer people
naturally
to start off with. Naturally.
You know, exactly. It,
and
be
it
no
will
effort.
Help. Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you haven't got somebody who's empathetic with you, it's not going anywhere. If you've got a friend who's shown, we've all had friends in the past, you know, and you say, oh, I'm not feeling great today. And they say, oh, you're not feeling great. Wait, I tell you, you know, I mean, wait till you hear my day.
Yeah.
Because they're not exhibiting empathy.
Yeah.
If we can talk about empathy, that's the basis of good relationships.
Yeah, and if we can...
And like peer pressure now, is it the same or the way it was years ago? Because like when I was a kid, like it wasn't too bad, it was fine, but there was different groups of kids, the hierarchy.
Still is. No, still the hierarchy. From the time they start school, there's the hierarchy.
Yeah.
There's the popular kids, the cool kids, the tough kids.
Yeah.
There's different groups. Yeah, the nerds, different groups, you know, and it's interesting to see how that can play out in a school. But, you know, you've got the inner sanctum, you know, the ones who are just good looking, cool, funny, and everybody knows that they are the top of the pyramid. And then you've got the outer circle who are trying, have little forays in there and try and get in a bit. Sometimes they get in, they never really get in, you know, and then you've got the outer circle. And those kids might have decided, I want nothing to do with them anyway, because I wouldn't be bothered trying to be one of the queen bees or kingpins of the group, you know. But it is definitely there. And
that's just their personalities.
It's very hard to see kids trying to get in. That's what I used to hate. I used to hate to see the ones, you know, trying to ingratiate themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the ones who are going, don't want to be in your group anyway. They're great, you know. They're fine.
Yeah, my son, I mean, he's 19 now. He's about 16. It was 16 he was about that age. And I was driving out of the school and there was just these six or seven kids. And I just said, oh, who are they? Because I normally used to know a lot of the kids' names. And he just straight out, he just went, oh, that's the popular kids.
Yeah.
And I went, what? What's that mean? And he goes, oh, they're just popular. Right. Now, I thought he was going to say they're dickheads or, oh my God, they're arseholes. And I went, and so I said, I was kind of getting angry, going, why is my kid in the popular team, right?
Yeah, why are you popular?
And I was looking at him going, well, who's the popular kid? And he goes, I says, well, do they ever like bully you? And he goes, no, they don't. And he goes, well, what? He goes, I says, well, like, they're quite nice, he says, but they're just popular kids. Yeah. And I says, do you ever like talk to them? He goes, not really, I don't really want to. And I went, oh. And okay. I said, now who's your mates? And my son, like, he's a kind of gamer, arty head. And he named his mates. He has about four or five close mates in school. And they never really ever mixed with the popular kids. And he goes, you know, I'm not into running up somebody and grabbing them in a headlock and rubbing their head and or pumping a chest ad. And my son's very mature. He always was.
Yeah.
So it was odd. I never ever, because when I was a kid, I never seen them like that. But he was pointing that out. But as a parent, I was going, why is my kid popular?
Why aren't you popular? But he's like,
I was more stressed than he was. He was going, it's all right, though.
Yeah. But that's because your son, at some level, he's comfortable in himself. You know, it's the kids who feel that I'll only be somebody if I'm in that group.
Success means you are accepted by them.
Acceptance, yeah.
It's kind of probably
because they're not accepting themselves. Whereas your son is accepting himself.
It's so sad to say. I mean, okay, am I being old-fashioned saying they're just getting the original bit of their personality is coming from the house, their home, how they're seeing their parents act.
It's nature and nurture, isn't it, Jason?
Yeah, you know,
I mean, they will take some of it on board, but then there's the whole nature thing.
Yeah, I suppose it's like, what was the movie again? Oh, Donnie Darko or whatever it was.
Oh, Donnie Darko.
Yeah, he's at the start in the trial and he was saying, I was always a badass. It wasn't my parents' fault.
Yeah, no.
It was always going to be a badass.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it a bit of this and a bit of that?
Absolutely. You know, I think you do have kind of family personalities.
Yeah.
We were all really gobby in my family. Yeah. And you might have assessed now that I'm gobby. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am
Scousy
gobby. Yes, a gobby scouse. but we just were. And we would argue about anything. And you argued to win. And me being the baby, I really got good at it, you know, because I could get all of their skills. But, you know, me being like that was a personality type that was accepted in my family. But we are all individuals as well, or where there's only me left, individuals. So, you know, I mean, you would have the more quiet one. She's very deep. That was my sister. The one next to me, very deep. I'd fight with my own fingernails, my mother used to say, you know. So we do have family personality types. That's, you know, what you can behave in one way within your family and you're accepted. But you are going to have the whole nature thing thrown in there as well. You know, I mean, I bet you're different to your siblings.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, we have differences and we have similarities. Yeah. And some of those are from your parents and some of them are from nature.
But just to say, because my mum will be listening to this, I am the best child.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
They're useless. Yeah. The other two. The girls in the boys don't even do anything. But before we go, I just want to ask one question. Like, as a parent, do we need to worry so much about our teenagers?
Oh, you're asking a worrier now, you see. I mean, yeah, you see? I worry. I worry.
So
all
a worrier
only
solves solves a worry and replaces it with a worry.
Yeah.
But I just mean, are they in a washing machine of madness and they don't know what they're doing?
Their madness is just tied in with technology more than our madness was. We were tied. If my mother knew the things I did and got away with, thankfully, she would have tied me up until I was 40.
Yeah.
So things haven't changed that much. It's just that they have access to different things.
So do you leave them off, as they say?
I think you do the best you can to pass on the information you have and then hope that you have done enough to make them savvy enough to protect themselves. Because you can't go out with them, can you?
Yeah, I can.
No, you can't.
In a bunch of binoculars. Yeah,
they won't let you.
Daniel!
Stop that. Stop that now.
Well, listen. Sorry, one more question from the Mar over there.
Yes. Before we go, because Orna is part of, a forum?
Yeah, youth
panel. She's a new youth panel.
Actually, the word's just
Orna's on the youth panel. Yeah. So you're not allowed on that, Mar.
Which I know. Which is a great idea in that Turn to Me are trying to really, from the horse's mouth, know what do teenagers need to talk about? What do we need? What language do we need to use to talk when we're talking to them and trying to deal with parents as well? So do you want to tell us a little bit about, say, what have you identified in that peer group are the kind of major triggers for teenagers in relation to mental health issues?
Well, I think there's also like your self-love. Like it's really hard to like love yourself because I think especially at our age, we're always comparing ourselves to others, especially on, like, social media.
Yeah.
Because we'd see things in other people's, like, Instagrams and all, and stories. And then you think they have this perfect life and you're comparing it to yours and it makes you, like, think, oh, why can't my life be like that? But really, they're only showing the good parts and, like, their life is, like, just as hard as yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that self-love thing, how it sounds so easy. And so just love yourself, but it's...
Yeah.
And, like, you're 16, so... For 16 years, do you feel that you haven't loved yourself? Do you feel we have permission to love ourselves? Is it okay to love yourself?
Yeah, it is okay to love yourself.
But do you think it's made harder because of the comparisons that we make with each other or that you guys make with each other because of social media?
I think that definitely just makes it harder because you really, really want to love yourself and you're always comparing yourself to others.
And what can be done, do you think, to facilitate or help teenagers to love themselves, just to kind of have self-love and live like that? Do you think you can teach that in schools?
I think they could just teach aspects of like empathy and like respecting others, because that goes back to the online bullying that has a part in like why people... That's part of like why people don't like love themselves, because like say you post a photo and you're getting loads of lovely nice comments and then you get one bad comment. The bad comment's the only one that you're going to remember.
Yeah. It's true, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Folks,
it's normal. If they put themselves out like that, it's just so hard.
It really is,
It's just about loving yourself and just saying that like, you are who you are. And
I don't need validation from somebody liking my picture.
Yeah. We're all different and... Every one of us are brilliant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can't be like somebody else. You can't be somebody else. You know what I mean? It's exhausting trying to be somebody else. So just being yourself is so much
And I think just
better.
What you said there, I think is really powerful, like about empathy, because if we have empathy, we're always told to have empathy for other people, but we actually need to have empathy for ourselves as well and compassion to say, you know, you're all right. You don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't have to get an A. I don't have to look, blah, blah, blah.
No.
So it really starts at home, doesn't it? Like the charity starts at home, but also the compassion and empathy. We can't just give it out. We have also got to be allowed, I think.
Be kind to yourself. Accept yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, we're way over time there. We're grand. We're not too bad. So thanks to Orna Heine. And Anita Conlon. And she's the author of Talk to Me, which is not about husbands coming home saying nothing after work. It's about the old teenagers.
Yeah.
So it's again called Talk to Me. And so You've been listening to Jason Byrne and Mar.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, this has been Mind Your Loaf. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget, if you or somebody you know is going through a tough time, there is professional mental health support online from counselling to support groups, all available for free for anyone in Ireland on turntome.ie. So pass it on. So mind your loaves.
And mind yourselves.
Oh, well done. You remembered it. Unbelievable. I am the best person in the world. And the best boy in the house. Thanks. See you later. Turn to Me provides professional mental health support.
Ah, Jason. Do your, you know, your ad voice.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Okay, I'll do a proper ad thing. Okay, ready? Yeah. As a registered charity, Turn to Me provides professional mental health support online for anyone in Ireland going through a tough time. From one-to-one counselling to group and peer support, Turn to Me is accessible from any device anywhere in Ireland. If you would like to support Turn to Me, you can donate €4 by texting Turn to Me to 50300. Text costs €4. Turn to Me will receive a minimum of €3.60. Service provider like charity. Helpline 076-680-5278.
Is that you?
Yeah, that was actually me. Okay. There. You've been listening to Jason Byrne and Mar, and this is Mind Your Loaf. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe too.
And don't forget, if you or someone you know is going through a tough time, there is professional mental health support online, from counselling to support groups, all available for free for anyone in Ireland on turntome.ie.
Mind your loaves.
And mind yourselves. Ah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.